And I've been reading in the Old Testament. I read in the Old Testament and the New Testament every day. And I was reading about Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat, and they were planning on going to war. And Hezekiah, he called all of his prophets to find out whether he should go to war or not. Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there a prophet of Israel that we can inquire of?" And you know, that's what's happening today. People today are not asking, is there a prophet of God that we can get counsel from? I'm going to get my counsel from people that will tell me what I want to hear. In fact, Hezekiah says, "Micah has never given me a good word or good prophetic word. I don't like his prophecy." Jehoshaphat insisted that he have let Micah come and prophesy. Back in the old days, they sought the counsel from God. We need to do the same thing. And God has given us, or given the church, men of God that are in the Word to help us to know the mind of the Lord. And what would be good counsel? Proverbs tells us there's no wisdom, nor understanding, or counsel against the Lord. You can't beat counsel of this book. You can't beat it. And all you have to do is read it. You don't even have to pay for it. Not, you know, it doesn't cost me $70 an hour to read the Word of God. But sometimes you pay somebody $70 an hour or whatever the fee is to give you counsel that is not going to help you in the long run. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." The reason you should know a man that is sharing with you the Word of God, is he giving you the truth? Is he telling you the truth? Does he have your soul or your life's interest at heart? Is he interested in you? Or is he just simply interested in money, his notoriety, his popularity? Or is he willing to risk everything to help you to do the right thing? And I tell you, there is a time when a man of God risks everything. I just think about Jeremiah and Isaiah. The kings in their days hated them. They put them in a hole in the ground. Think of Jeremiah being let down into a hole in the castle. And all he could do is his head was sticking out. In Majorca, when I was in the Navy, I went into a castle and I looked down in a hole where they put people down there that had to stand on their tiptoes to keep from drowning. You know, and then after a while, it's time to go to sleep. And, of course, the place fills up with dead bones and bodies because they drown. You need to know the man of God that's sharing with you the Word. Is he going to tell you the right thing, or is he going to tell you what you want to hear? And you don't want to just simply to hear good things. Now, elders are those that God has put over the church. Elders are to feed the church of God, which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. You find this in Acts 20. And in verse 17 and also verse 28, where it says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer to feed the church of God." And I'm here this morning and every Sunday morning or any time during the week to feed you, to help you in anything that you're working on. And to draw from my own experiences. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. In other words, he's given men to minister to the church. And in verse 12 it says, "For the perfecting or the furnishing of the saints for the work of the ministry." Part of my job is to give you the mandate of God about the ministry. And who is to do the ministry? Well, we've hired the preacher to do the calling and all the other stuff, right? Well, that's the way the church is designed today. But actually, the ministry is to be done by you. The people in the pews are the ones that really should be doing the calling and the ministering to each other. You know, and it doesn't leave me out, but the point is this, I'm here to help you and encourage you to do the reaching out to other people. Because that's the perfecting or the furnishing of the saints to do the work of the ministry. For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of faith. In other words, that we're all have learned how to please God. That's the unity of the faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And I'm here to encourage you in your faith so that you can please God in your life. And I'm also here to provide you with the deeper knowledge of the Son of God. But the perfecting or bringing everyone to a full age. We all need to grow up, to mature in the things of the Lord. We're often so willing to be babes, stay a babe in the Lord. And we need to grow up and to become full men or mature men. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And to be no more children tossed about to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. It's so important to teach the Word of God and to rightly divide it in such a way is that you know what it says, and since somebody comes along and tries to tell you something different, you're not sucked in. And that's the reason why we teach the Bible here. We're not teaching man's philosophy. We're teaching the Word of God so you won't be sucked in. People, the FBI and those who work with counterfeiting, they don't study counterfeit money. They study the real thing. And if you know what the real thing looks like, you can see a counterfeit right off the bat. Of course, it's more difficult today because they've got computers and copy machines that can do a pretty good job. But the point is this, they don't study counterfeit money. They study the real thing. And the counterfeit will show its face when it comes by. Now, another responsibility that I have is to preach the word. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. Preach the word, be instant in season, be at hand or ready when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. In season or out of season. There are times when I'm up and there's times when I'm down. And I know where I'm supposed to be on Sunday morning. And I'm going to be here, Lord willing, if I have the strength, whether I feel like being here or I don't feel like being here. And let me just say this, there are times when, I'm not always up. But the Lord knows that I need to be here and I'm going to be here and I'm going to have something for you. And if I don't have something for you when I get here, the Lord's going to give it to me when it's time to deliver it. And that's happened more than once. But I need to be here and be ready when it's in season, in the time of need, and when it's not. Or when the things are just not like everybody wants them to be. Now, one of the distasteful things that comes with the ministry of the Word is reproving, convicting. Another thing is to rebuke, or to censure, or admonish. That's no fun, but it is essential. It's important. Another thing is to exhort with long-suffering, endurance, patience. You know, you give a child, a baby, time to adjust. You don't potty train somebody overnight, right? And you've got to be patient with people. Give them time to change. Give them time to adjust their life. But one thing about it is you expect the kid to change, right? And I expect you to change. But I'm going to give you time to make adjustments in your life. And that's what comes with doctrine or instruction and exhorting with long suffering or patience. I know the time will come, and it is here now, that men will out endure sound doctrine. They won't come consistently to hear the teaching of the Word of God. They'd rather go somewhere so that they can feel good and get a feeling instead of sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap or seek to themselves teachers, listening to what they want to hear. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I need to watch in all things to endure affliction. Let me tell you, you teach the word, you're going to be, I haven't really gone into in affliction, but I've had people call me names. Heretic, false teacher, and just leave. Just leave. Well, that doesn't bother me. Let me tell you, one thing I know is I'm going to stand before God and I have to give an account to Him, and I don't have to give an account to you. And I'm going to behave myself in a kind way, in a patient way, but I need to be firm on the Word of God. And that's where I'm going to be, Lord willing. Now, one thing that I do want to admonish you, first thing you need to do is submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We all need to submit to God. Then there is the obeying them that have rule over you, or submitting yourselves to them that have rule over you. For they watch for your soul. They watch for your life. Quality of life, not only for this age but for the age to come. Good counsel from the Word of God can improve our quality of life. We may have persecution, we may suffer cancer, we may suffer all kinds of disease, we may suffer things that we can't control, but the quality of life can still be higher than if we are choosing our own counsel. When we start reflecting upon our own counsel, we begin to feel sorry for ourselves and our quality of life goes down. Then you become depressed. Then they say you have a disease. The disease is not focusing on the counsel of the Word of God. That will get you out of depression quicker than anything I know of. Well, every one of us becomes depressed from time to time. But you know what? When I get down, you know what I get on? I get in the Word of God. I start working on my memory verses again, refreshing myself. It's the Word of God that brings hope and strength. So we need to submit ourselves to the elders. Now, submission is not, I'm the boss over you. That's not the submission we're talking about. That's not the obeying part of it is this. The obeying part is, if I'm a prophet and I tell the children of Israel, don't go to war, you know what you better do? You better pack up your bags and go home. There was a king who paid the Assyrians a pile of silver to go fight Israel. And while they were marching up to Samaria, or up to the north, here comes the prophet of God. And he said, go home. And the king said, well, I paid Assyria all this money to help me to whoop them. And he says, forget it. God can give you the silver back. So when the prophet says, don't go to war, pack up your bags and go home. So, That is the point of obeying and submitting to the counsel of the Word of God, not to the individual. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, or trust in the Lord, and stay upon his God. Here we have those that do not know what to do, and they are in the habit of obeying the voice of his servant. What should they do? They need to wait until they hear the counsel of the Lord. They need to stay upon the Lord. Because what will happen if they start walking in the light of their own counsel? And you find that in verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. What happens when you do not submit to the counsel of the Word of God? The Word of God says you're going to lie down in sorrow. Your quality of life is going to go down. It's important for you not to start hooping it up and talking it up and getting all kinds of sparks and excitement and enthusiasm of your own. That's the sparks. That's the kindling of your own fire. That's your own wisdom, your own counsel. And you're going to have sorrow if that happens. We always stop, seems like, reading in Isaiah 50 in verse 11, because that's the last verse of the 50th chapter. But he goes into chapter 51, and Isaiah, the prophet, is saying, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." That's in verse 1. Then in verse 4 it says, "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation." This is Isaiah again speaking for the Lord. And then in verse 7 it says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law." The nation of Israel wasn't listening to the prophets. And they were going to lie down in sorrow in a foreign land, in captivity, hanging their harps on a willow tree, bemoaning of the fact that they are out of the land. No more sacrifices at the temple. Proverbs 28:26 tells us something interesting. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." If you trust in your own fire, in your own spark, the Word of God says you're a fool. You trust in the counsel of God, you're going to be delivered. And that's what a prophet or that's what a pastor teacher is here to do, is to share the Word of God so that you'll know the mind and the heart of the Lord so that you can respond to it and be delivered. Now that doesn't mean that you may have to, it may cost you some silver like it did the king, but just remember this, if you give all your money away, who gave it to you in the first place, and you just forget it and trust the Lord to provide you again. There's an interesting story in 2 Chronicles. It has to do with Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 20, we find Jehoshaphat being surrounded by armies. And these armies that were attacking him had more men and more strength than Jehoshaphat did. And Jehoshaphat declared a fast and he sought the Lord. They were waiting upon the Lord. And it says in verse 15, "And he," that is Jehaziel, a Levite, one of the priests in the temple, "by the Spirit of the Lord," in verse 14, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon this priest," and he says, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Now this is what Jehoshaphat was waiting to hear. He was waiting for a word from God. Now Jehoshaphat didn't put the prophet in prison and do his own thing. He listened what the man had to say. And he said in verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel." Boy, I tell you, there's nothing like that kind of intelligence, man. The spy satellites were not in existence in that day. I just think about what the king of Syria said about, I think it's Elijah. He says, "Elijah knows what's going on in your bedroom." You can't get away from God when it comes to him knowing what to do and when to do it. Then in verse 20, it says, "And they rose up early in the morning." I like that. They didn't waste any time doing what God said for them to do. Just like Abraham, when God says, "I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice," Abraham didn't put it off until after lunch. Oh, we'll do that after lunch. Abraham got up early in the morning and did it. Jehoshaphat got up early in the morning and headed out. And it says, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. The prophets get their authority from whom? The Lord God. And he says, you believe the Lord God. And then you listen to his prophets, and you're going to prosper. And then the prosperity they enjoyed is found in verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. You want God's blessing? You listen to the counsel of God's prophets. I'm not a prophet. I'm a student of the prophets. But I hope that I can give you the wisdom of the Lord out of His Word. Now, you may not haul away jewelry and precious things here on the earth, because what we're looking for is a heavenly treasure, a heavenly blessing, and I'm here to encourage you to be patient for that. Because I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has promised to them that love Him. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 50 verse 7? He says, For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I shall not be confused. Word confounded can also be translated confused. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Neither will you lie down in sorrow. I'm here to help all of us to be able to set our face like a flint. I mean, there's no changing. We're going to trust God. We're going to take His counsel. We're not going to walk in our own sparks. We're going to do what the Word of God says. And be blessed at the right time. It's going to take 1,000 years to gather the spoil during the millennium. Not 3 days. 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ that we can enjoy in that day. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just thank You, Lord, that we can be encouraged by it and that we can live by the counsel that You give us. And we just pray, Father, that You'd help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of You, and then apply that knowledge in our life. What a sad thing it is to know something and it not help us. And that happens so often, to know the Word of God, and it doesn't change us, and we never listen to it, we never respond to it, we never obey it. We just keep on living defeated lives. Help us, Lord, to take Your counsel. And I pray, Father, that You'd help me to be faithful to Your Word and faithful to the commission that You've given me to these people that come week by week. Help me, Lord, to feed them, to encourage them, to help them to grow, and to help them to become fruitful, faithful, profitable servants of Yours, that they one day will hear, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into Your joy. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.